Good evening. If you have your Bibles or you have your smartphone or your tablet, go ahead and open to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to spend just a little bit of time tonight talking about Ephesians chapter 1, and really I want to make one simple point tonight and then leave you with one simple challenge. But before we do that, let's go to God in prayer. God, we thank you for the chance to gather, and God, we thank you for the chance we have to open your word together. And God, our simple prayer tonight is that as we open your word, that you would speak to us. Father, we thank you for your scriptures, and we thank you for your spirit. And Father, we thank you for the lives that we have in you. God, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you have any traditions surrounding Christmas, but I know my family has a lot of them. And when I was a kid, one of those traditions was A Christmas Story, which is the movie, the classic movie from several years ago. We would have it playing on our TV. I think it was Christmas Eve, just kind of a mellow day for our family. And so all throughout the day, this movie would be playing. This movie is a story about a young boy named Ralphie. And Ralphie had an epic quest this particular Christmas year. That quest was for a particular Christmas gift. Does anyone remember what that Christmas gift was? Yeah, not just any rifle, but a Red Ryder BB gun. There was some fancy name for it that I couldn't quite remember. But more than anything else, Ralphie wanted this BB gun. And so the whole movie is spent with him trying to find a way to get this BB gun for Christmas. And he keeps hearing from all the responsible adults around him that you don't want that because you'll shoot your eye out. And so he spends the whole movie looking for this gift. And then come Christmas Day, there are gifts surrounding the Christmas tree, and Ralphie and his brother begin to open those gifts frantically. And it's a good Christmas. There are a lot of gifts there, a lot of really cool things. But the one he wanted most, that Red Ryder BB gun, was nowhere to be found. But then, after all of the gifts had been opened, after the wrapping paper was sprawled across the ground and the toys were spread on the living room floor and they had already had their breakfast and were kind of just enjoying these gifts, Ralphie was let down because he didn't find what he had hoped to find. When all of a sudden his dad goes behind the Christmas tree and he pulls out this gift that was the Red Ryder BB gun. There was one last gift that was really there the entire time, but it was hidden from Ralphie because he was looking for it in all the wrong places. When I was a kid, it wasn't Christmas time, but it was my birthday in August. There was a Batman action figure that I wanted more than anything else. It wasn't just any old Batman action figure, but it was the Lightning Strike Batman figure. That number one had the cool lightning bolts on it, but they also had this awesome cape that turned into a glider-like wings, and it was awesome. But it wasn't something, apparently, that you could find in the toy stores anywhere. Every time we would go, I would be looking for it, and it was nowhere to be found. I remember one time my dad went to a flea market and I thought he would come home bringing this Lightning Strike Batman figure, but he never did. So my birthday comes around and this was the only thing I wanted. I didn't care about anything else. I wanted this toy. I opened all the packages that I thought could maybe be this Batman action figure. And kind of like Ralphie, it wasn't there. And so, like any 8-year-old boy, I then moved on to the less exciting Christmas or the birthday presents. You know, the clothes boxes, the things that are obviously not toys. And so I went through and started opening the things I didn't care about at all. And lo and behold, in the last Christmas box, or the last clothes box, tucked in underneath some khakis, there was this Lightning Strike Batman. And I was joyous. I was so excited. It turns out I was searching for the gift that had been there all along, but I was searching for it in the wrong place. There is something about hiding and finding gifts that we like. As kids, we go searching through our parents' house, looking for our birthday presents and looking for our Christmas gifts. We like to surprise our kids by hiding the toy behind the Christmas tree or hiding it underneath the couch or putting it in a box with our clothes that we got for our birthday. Remember one year for Valentine's Day with Amanda, I had cooked a dinner and had bought her a little necklace. And instead of just giving it to her in a box, I decided to put it on the flowers and let it hang there as we were eating dinner, waiting to see how long it took her to notice it. And then another year, I had bought her another little necklace and put it in a Bible I bought her. And I waited to see how long she would find it. Because there's something exciting about hiding gifts. And there's something exciting about finding the gifts that we didn't know were ever there. We look for Easter eggs. We look for elves now. There's just something special about looking for those hidden gifts. There's a fictional story about a country priest. It's a young priest who is living in his first assignment with his first church. He's a young man, but he's also a sick man. And the story talks about his struggles with this church. And at the end of the story, this sickly man is finally diagnosed with skin cancer. And at the end of the story, when he is on his deathbed, in fact, not just his deathbed, but his last words are something that I find incredibly profound. The only reason I even know about this story is because of those last words. He says that grace is everywhere. That all is grace. That there is grace in every single moment, in every single molecule of the universe. We get to taste, even if it's just a little bit, the gift of God's love, the gift of God's grace. We spend a lot of time talking about grace because grace is the foundation that we stand on. It's what gives us a connection with God. But what exactly is grace? Know that the standard Bible school definition of grace is unmerited favor. It is favor or blessing that we're given even though we don't deserve it. And that's exactly what our relationship with God is. It is unmerited favor. It is a blessing that we are given that we don't deserve. That nothing we have done has earned our place with God. But it is all about what God has done for us on the cross. It is grace. It is unmerited favor. But to be honest, I find that definition a little bit clumsy. I found it a little bit cold, a little bit too formal. I think a good definition for grace is simply gift. That it is a gift given that isn't deserved. And so I want to change that fictional priest's words to say that gift is everywhere. And that we only have to open our eyes to see it. That gift is all around us. And we spend so much of our lives looking for that gift, looking for that grace, looking for that taste of God's blessing in all of the wrong places. We try to find what our hearts are longing for, but we look in the wrong places. But God's gift, God's grace to us, is everywhere. The way James tells it in James chapter 1 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God showers us, James says, with gifts, with grace. That every single good thing we have in our life, every single thing that brings us enjoyment, that brings us joy, is grace. It's a gift from God. So there's a story in 2 Kings chapter 6 that is a fascinating story. It talks about a man named Elisha who was a prophet from God. And one day Elisha makes the Syrian king angry. And so being a king, the Syrian sends an army to Elisha's house. And one morning, Elisha's servant wakes up. And he goes outside, and instead of hearing the birds chirp, he sees this massive army full of horses and chariots surrounding him and his master's house. And so he runs inside and is understandably frantic and says, "What are we going to do?" He despairs because of this massive army. But then Elisha says something that's a little bit strange. Elisha says, "Don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And if you are Elisha's servant, imagine how this sounds. I mean, imagine what might be going through your mind when you hear him say this. You might be thinking that he's lost it, that he is completely out of his mind, that he's been in the desert a little bit too long, that maybe he's dehydrated, or maybe the incense has messed with his thinking a little bit. It's foolishness, because surrounding them is this massive army of the Syrians with all of their strength and with all of their might. So a servant thinks, how on earth can you say not to be afraid? Don't you see all of the bad guys that are surrounding us? And then Elisha prays a prayer. O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. Because yes, there was a massive army of bad guys that were coming to kill them. But there was also something else there, something that Elisha was able to see, something that his servant missed. And when Elisha prays this prayer, it says, "The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." There was a deeper reality than the bad guys and their chariots and their horses. There was a reality that the servant missed because he was too preoccupied with the problems, with the bad guys that were surrounding them. And he missed the way that God was present, even in the midst of that terrible situation. And so Elisha prays, "Open his eyes that he might see." So in Ephesians 1, let's read, starting in verse 3 together. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, grace that he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in heaven and on earth." Paul speaks about the incredible grace that we have in Christ. But he doesn't stop there. Listen to what he says in verse 15. He begins to speak directly to the Ephesians and says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord and your love toward the saints, I don't cease to give thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of God, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Jesus when he raised him from the dead." Paul prays, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. Much like Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." The scriptures are dripping for us of blessings that come from God. On every single page, it speaks to us about the incredible gift of love that God has given to each of us. And yet we spend so much of our lives looking for it in the wrong places. And so Elisha prays, and Paul prays, and we pray for ourselves that the eyes of our heart might be enlightened, because there is gift and there is grace everywhere. But we get caught up in ourselves. We get so caught up in the armies with their horses around us. We get so caught up in the external problems, the superficial problems, that we miss the grace that pulsates through all of our world. Sometimes that grace comes in the quiet of the morning. Sometimes that grace comes through our family and our friends. Sometimes that grace comes as good food, as celebration, as joy. There are 1,000 different ways that God makes His gift, His grace to us known. A couple weeks ago on a Friday morning, a day that is usually my day off, but on this particular Friday morning, was sitting at my desk at my house, doing a little bit of study and reflection and prayer for the sermon that week. And as I looked out the window, I saw the sun beginning to come up over the horizon. The ground was covered in snow. And as I read about the joy that God offers us, I was reminded in this quiet moment, this peaceful moment, the truth that we're trying to say tonight, that God's gift is everywhere, that God showers His grace in our lives, and that if we can simply slow down and open our eyes, we can see all around us this gift and this grace. Gift is everywhere, and we just have to open our eyes to see it. That's our challenge for tonight. That we can open our eyes in this season that for many of us is incredibly busy, that is filled with all kinds of stress. In the midst of all of that, open our eyes to see the grace that God gives us in every single moment. It's one challenge. But then a second challenge comes with it. If grace is truly everywhere, if grace is given to us in every moment, then we need to be people who share that grace. If gift is everywhere, we need to be a gift giver. And we need to find ways of sharing this grace and connecting other people with the grace that God offers us. I've been reminded over the past couple of days of just how desperately our world is in need of grace, is in need of knowing the gift that God offers us, knowing the gift of God's love. So tonight, maybe you're here and you need that gift. You don't feel that grace in your lives. You look and you can't see it anywhere around you. John 1, a passage that we reflected on this morning, says that the Word, that Jesus became flesh and He dwelt among us. And this Jesus is full of grace and truth. And from His fullness of this grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace that keeps piling up in our lives. Because grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. If you are here tonight and you are longing for that grace and for that gift, you need to know that it comes only through Jesus. You can look for it in 1,000 other places in the world, but it only comes through Jesus. And so tonight we are offered an invitation to walk in this grace. And if you have not come to Jesus, that's something you need to do. You need to come to Jesus and say that you are ready to follow Him. Commit your lives to Him by being buried in baptism and raised knowing this grace upon grace that just piles higher and higher in our lives. If you've not been baptized tonight, make the decision to do that tonight. Tonight, if you're here and you're just struggling and you want us to pray with you, as your church family, we want to do that. We want to surround you and let you know that God's grace is real. It's tangible. It's not something that is hidden from us, but it's something that is given to us. So tonight, if you need to respond to God's invitation, let us know how we can help by meeting me down front as we stand.